This is photographer, author, and educator Katrine Eisman, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. Springtime means tax time, and their cloud-based accounting software helps freelance photographers and small business owners get their lives back and get back to shooting by making paperwork a breeze. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 58. 500px makes a big change to its royalty rates. In this episode, 500px makes a big change that photographers aren't happy about. The IRIX 15mm f2.4 is announced, Capture One Pro updates and the trial clock gets reset, the FTC takes Lord and Taylor to task for sly Instagram advertising, a noted civil rights photographer dies, and two of our audience members have a solution to Travis and Australia's problem from back in episode 57. All that and more in episode 58 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Katrine, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. Katrine Eisman is the author or co-author of several books on photography and Photoshop. She's the chair of the Masters in Professional Studies program in digital photography at the School of Visual Arts in New York City. She's a mentor and a great example to young women. She's also an amazing artist and photographer as well. And we don't have enough time to adequately go into the incredible things she's done in her career because it is an incredibly long, amazing list. So if you'd like to learn more about her and see her work, head on over to her website at katrineisman.com. That's KatrineIsman.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 58 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. If you use the 500px marketplace to sell your photos and you're not signed on exclusively, you're not going to be super thrilled about the service dropping its royalty rate for non-exclusive users from 70 to 30%. Yeah, that's quite a drop. The company has announced via emails to photographers that it's cutting its royalty rate from the 70% commission it's had for a while now back to the 30% commission rate it had 2 years ago when it launched. If you're offering your photos for sale exclusively through 500px, though, you'll have what they're calling an industry-leading 60% rate. And for those images being offered through services as well as 500px, you're going to be cut down to that 30% rate. So in other words, that is a 57% drop with this new change. The email to photographers says in part, quote, "We've learned a lot in our 2 years of running the 500px marketplace. Since its launch in March 2014, the number of sales and clients have outperformed our projections. We want to grow this business even bigger for your sake and ours, and we are investing in international expansion and improved technology to attract even more clients. As we look toward doing that, we need to make some changes to ensure we will continue to be a healthy business that can deliver for our clients and for our contributors. We are changing the photography royalty rate to ensure the sustained growth of 500px. We are also restructuring our licenses to increase market competitiveness and broaden our customer base. These changes will come into effect on April 4th, 2016. We've solicited a lot of feedback on what we need to do to meet our licensing clients' needs and to be competitive in the market in order to grow licensing sales. We are adjusting our pricing and license structure in order to fit the market's needs. This will also give our stock buyers more flexibility, facilitating a greater number of your photos sold." End quote. Now, we'll see in time if that's actually true, right? Just because you say it doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. So we'll see from photographers if they're actually going to be selling more photos as a result of this change. If not, and you're non-exclusive, you're then going to be taking a 57% hit. So think about that for a second. That is a lot more photos you need to sell just to make what you were making before, if you're signed up non-exclusively with them. That's wonderful, huh? As you might imagine, photographers have taken to online forums to discuss this, And a common complaint is that while 70% was a much better rate over other stock services, this new 30% rate for non-exclusive means that 500px's marketplace is now going to be offering a similar rate to just about everyone else out there. Now, obviously, as a business, 500px is wanting its users to list photos exclusively with it rather than others, grow its collection, and be more dominant in the industry. And dropping the rate for non-exclusive licensing forces photographers to make a decision now. Do you list your photos everywhere so you have increased visibility and the trade-off is a lower rate? Or do you put all your eggs in 500px's basket and get 60% when you make the sale? Being non-exclusive is essentially a be-everywhere strategy, while being exclusive to 500px means perhaps your images aren't going to be found. Think about it this way. If you're exclusive to 500px, and there's someone out there that's looking for stock photography for their blog or whatever, and they're not using 500px, they're not going to find your photos. But if you have them everywhere and you're non-exclusive, you at least have a shot at a sale, albeit at that 30% rate. So this is definitely a personal decision. If you're out there selling your photos on stock photo sites, this is something you're going to have to think about now. Personally, I don't play the stock market, the stock photo market, that is. But for those who do, these are important things to consider. Now remember, gone are the days when you could fairly easily make some decent money with micro stock services. So perhaps that's a good thing, actually. It makes this decision even easier. I think that for most, they consider their micro stock earnings to be somewhere between beer money and gear money. And yes, that rhymed. It happens. So it's not make or break. And yeah, that too rhymed. It's okay. Let's move on. Next. Remember when it seemed like there were only a handful of lens makers out there? Now it seems like everyone and their mother is making them, and most are making them well these days. I blame computers, you know, because it's now incredibly easy to design and manufacture quality lenses thanks to them. Actually, we should be thanking them, so thank you, computers. Well, TH Swiss has announced a new line of lenses called Irix, with the first lens in the lineup being their 15mm f2.4. A lens, they say, is, quote, a photographer's dream, end quote. And it was built by engineers and made even better by designers, they're saying. This ultra-wide-angle rectilinear manual focus lens is designed for Canon EF, Nikon F, and Pentax K full-frame DSLRs. Wow, look at Pentax getting some love there, huh? Talk about a plot twist. Usually it's Canon EF, Nikon F, and Sony E. Pentax K? All right. I guess they feel like there's a lot of Pentax K users that are going to be wanting this. I don't know. All right, so this lens is rectilinear, so in theory, vertical and horizontal lines should stay straight, so that's nice, especially if you're shooting interiors for real estate, shooting architecture, etc. It's manual focus only, and it's super wide, so if you're using it for that kind of application, shooting interiors, etc., you're locked down on a tripod, you don't mind manually focusing, it's not a problem for you. You're probably going to be shooting at f11, f16 anyhow. One thing that I love that they included on this lens is a hyperfocal distance scale, so you can see what's going to be in focus and what's not at a given aperture. That's a huge feature. A feature which was on lenses for many decades, but was removed as the aperture ring disappeared, and lens makers went for a cleaner look, of course. Another cool feature is that you can set the focus ring to infinity, and it'll click. And they're calling that infinity click. Imagine that. So let's say that you're shooting the Milky Way. It's dark out, of course, and you don't want to bust out a light. No problem. You just listen for the click. Now, why can't everyone do this with their lenses? It's so darn helpful, and it seems easy to do. Now, not all lenses are going to be able to do that, of course. With a lot of the lenses that are out there these days, you can keep turning and turning, and you're never going to find where infinity is, or beyond. But maybe they can take a clue from this lens and build this feature into future lenses. That would be great. That is a really, really helpful feature. Now, despite being an ultra-wide lens, there's a front filter mount which is a whopping 95mm thread size, and they've also engineered a rear gelatin filter slot as well. The latter, most will never use, of course. Many people have that on their lenses now and have no idea that it's even there. So you might want to check your lenses because you might actually see a gelatin filter slot there. You know, there are many, many thousands of people that listen to this podcast, and I have a feeling that right now, a bunch of them are rushing to their camera bag, taking off the rear lens cap, and checking to see if there's a gelatin filter slot there. That might just open up a whole world of photography to a bunch of people right now. That's pretty cool. These Korean-made lenses are optimized for 50-megapixel sensors, so if you have a Canon 5DS or 5DSR, you're going to find this lens particularly interesting, I think. It also has a special coating to reduce aberration, ghosting, and flare. It has a minimum focusing distance of a little less than 1 foot, that's about 0.28 meters, and it's weather-sealed against dust and moisture. Now, if all that wasn't already interesting enough, this lens comes in two varieties. One is called Blackstone, and the other Firefly. Blackstone is the more beefy model with a durable magnesium body and engraved markings, while Firefly is more lightweight and features an ergonomic focusing ring. You know, think about how far we've come in lens technology just in the past few years. It really is quite astounding, isn't it? You've got all these third-party companies out there that are making incredible lenses with so much innovation in them and keeping the big guys on their toes, and that's really driving things forward. Competition is good for all of us, and as consumers, we win, and you've got to love that. Now, exact pricing and availability have yet to be announced, but they're saying that the IRIX 15mm f2.4 should be available sometime in the spring of 2016, so not too long from now. But Nikon Rumors reports that the price of the Nikon F-mount Firefly model will go for approximately $600 US, with the more robust Blackstone model coming in $180 more at $780. You know, I gotta admit, these lenses are pretty darn cool. If these things are tack sharp, they're gonna be selling a ton of them. And I might just buy one myself. Next. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard my frustrations with Adobe Photoshop Lightroom. I have the fastest iMac you can get with a full complement of RAM and SSD drive inside, and yet it's still turtle slow for me. Capture One Pro, though, not so much. Well, version 9.1 of their photo editing software has been released and has a number of cool new features and performance upgrades. Of this, owner Phase 1 says, quote, "This release is themed to address workflow efficiency for all our customers, and it also grants a superior integrated workflow experience for the Phase 1 XF camera system," end quote. Capture One Pro now offers new uniformity controls. Originally, it had just one uniformity slider for hue, so you could even out the color, skin tones, etc. But now the software offers three sliders. One for hue, one for saturation, one for lightness. Also known as HSL. I'm sure you've seen that term in Photoshop and other programs for many years now. HSL is hue, saturation, lightness. So now with the addition of the S and the L, you've got a couple more tools available to you as you edit your photos, and that's going to be incredibly helpful for a lot of people. Now, in live view mode, you're going to be able to rotate the view using the orientation feature, so that's going to come in handy when you're doing tethered shooting. Shooting tethered, for those who don't know, means having your computer connected to your camera so that when you shoot, the photo appears on your computer or a tablet, etc., something that's incredibly helpful when you're shooting in a studio. They've rewritten the code for Capture One Pro 9.1, so it now has better performance and stability, with the company saying that you may notice a 30% speed boost. Now, when was the last time you heard that coming out of Adobe with Lightroom? Yeah, I don't remember either. You know, they certainly have the resources over at Adobe to make these kind of things happen. And with Capture One coming on strong, Adobe's got to be a little bit concerned. I'm seeing more and more people switch from Lightroom on over to Capture One Pro. You know, whoever serves the market better is going to get more cheese. And Capture One has been getting a lot more cheese lately. The new version of their software also adds new shortcuts in the keyboard shortcuts editor, as well as new keyboard export restrictions, which allow you to restrict which keywords from which lists are applied to photos upon export. A lot of people are really going to like that feature. As for performance, Phase 1 says they've rewritten the code for the library to improve speed and reliability, and that is going to be very much appreciated. TIFF files will now be properly displayed with alpha channels or layers, so if you're bringing over files from Photoshop or Affinity Photo, you're definitely going to appreciate that. As I said, it's available right now as a free upgrade, so if you already possess a license or a subscription for version 9.0, you're good to go. The best part, though, is that Capture One has reset their 30-day trial counter, so if you'd like to give it another try and check out all the cool new features, now is definitely the time to do that. That's right. If you've already done the trial before and it has expired, no problem, because they've now reset the counter. Pretty cool. You get 30 more days to try it out. How awesome is that? Now head on over to petapixel.com/podcast and check out the show notes for episode 58, where we'll link you over to that, or you can just type in Capture One Pro 9.1. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with your photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be out shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem, making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And the FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pictures of your receipts and organize them later so you have them ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You know, they believe in this podcast and we want to support them, right? You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to doing what we all love to do, taking photos and editing them. On average, FreshBooks users get paid nearly a week faster when accepting online payments through their system, cut 2 days a month out of administrative tasks, and double their revenue in the first 24 months. That is amazing. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers, and that's huge. Right now, FreshBooks is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial, so make sure you take advantage of that. Go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the how did you hear about us section. That's PETAPIXEL, of course. Thank you so much, FreshBooks, for your support. Here on the show, we talk about Instagram quite a bit. And if you're a photographer and you're not on Instagram just yet, you definitely want to consider signing up, I think. It's a great way to get your work seen and also to find new clients. I'm working with a photographer near St. Louis, Missouri, and he's grown from just 73 followers to over 3,000 in about 6 weeks' time. And he's booked more clients as a result, so that's awesome. Well, another way that people make money with Instagram is to build a large following and to get paid to promote products. Brand ambassadors, influencers, however you choose to refer to them, it's a way to earn money in today's economy using Instagram. But here in the United States, if you're going to do these things, there are guidelines to follow and the Federal Trade Commission to answer to. According to the FTC, department store chain Lord & Taylor has agreed to settle charges for deceptive marketing on the social media service. What the company did was pay users with large followings up to $4,000 to post a single photo of themselves wearing one of the dresses that they sell. So where did the retailer go wrong, you ask? The FTC requires you to mention that the photo is actually paid advertising. You need to disclose this even though it might otherwise seem obvious that you're posting what's essentially an ad. What apparently happened is Lord & Taylor paid 50 fashion influencers up to $4,000 each depending on the size of their audience and had them post photos of them wearing a new paisley dress from their design lab collection. The FTC says that those unlabeled sponsored photos reached 11.4 million Instagram users over just 2 days and was so successful that the dress quickly sold out. I mean, that was their goal after all. One of the fashion influencers who posted a photo in violation of the FTC rules currently has over 427,000 followers. That is amazing. You know, I'm closing in on 13,000 myself, and I think that's pretty darn good, but that is nowhere near 427,000. Mine's kind of a rounding error compared to that. It's so easy if you're young and pretty, I tell you. According to Jessica Rich, the FTC's Director of Consumer Protection Bureau, quote, "Consumers have the right to know when they're looking at paid advertising," end quote. So the company is now on notice to avoid misrepresenting paid ads in a similar way, or they'll have to pay civil penalties to the FTC, and I don't suspect that's going to happen again with them. Based on the news reports I've seen, I don't think they were trying to dupe anyone. It looks like somewhere along the way, they didn't tell the influencers that they needed to add hashtag ad to their photos. But that's kind of weird because many of these already accept ads from companies, and you think they would be doing that anyhow. I guess not. Now, when you see the Instagram accounts of these influencers, I think you understand what's going on. I hope most people get it. If you don't get it right away, within a couple of photos, I think you understand. But here in the United States, despite that, you need to disclose that these are actually ads, and I think many people forget that. According to USA Today, the FTC's been cracking down on companies running afoul of its rules regarding unfair or deceptive marketing, and I think that's a good thing to do. Consumers have a right to know, right? And if I ever accept gear, a service, etc., and I post about it, I will, of course, disclose that. It's the right thing to do. There's no use in not doing it and trying to dupe people. That's just stupid. I think that one's credibility and word is important in life, and it is, at least to me. I don't know about other people. I'm just speaking for myself. By the way, I'm LensShark on Instagram and other places. I'd love to connect with you all. And don't worry, I'm not going to be wearing any dresses. If you use Google Photos, you might be interested to know that the Spooky Accurate service has a new feature which just might make putting your best photos together a breeze. Hey, at very least, it's worth checking out and see how good of a job it does, right? I mean, it does a pretty darn good job at just about everything else. And it might do a good enough job to call it good and save you hours of time and get your life back. The more time we don't have to waste on things, we can be out shooting or spending time with our family and friends, right? So Google has announced a feature to make going through photos easier than ever, saying it's, quote, smarter photo albums without the work, end quote. And there are a number of new additional features that are going to help add more context as well. It has a map feature which pulls GPS data that's embedded in your photos, and there's quite a bit more data that you can add as well, and you can open it up to collaborating with others if you choose to do so. This new Google Photos album is available right now on iOS, Android, and the web, so check it out. I think it's pretty cool. Next. Sadly, another great in the photography world has passed. This time, it's acclaimed civil rights photographer, Bill Adelman. According to the Miami Herald, this past weekend, 85-year-old Adelman was found dead with a head wound inside his Miami Beach home. There were no signs of forced entry at his house, and crime scene investigators spent hours searching his home and neighborhood for evidence, as well as questioning his neighbors, of course. Now, police are saying that his injuries are consistent with a fall and foul play is not suspected. Adelman is best known for documenting the African-American civil rights movement in the United States for major publications, having been granted special access as he led the way to document the growing movement for racial equality. When Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, Bill Adelman was right there just feet away. He had a front row seat throughout the civil rights movement as he used his camera to effect change, accepted that documenting these events might get him killed back then, and he brought an important part of American history to the masses, not for profit or fame, but because he believed in the cause. The great Bill Adelman, one of the best that ever lived, dead at age 85. R.I.P., brother. If you heard episode 57, Travis in Australia had a question asking about the best way to officially tag his photos of racers so he can make them available for sale. Well, our audience is awesome, as you all know, and there are indeed some solutions which are available to help him out. Listener Mike Price with Fairfield Photography in Pickerington, Ohio, does a lot of these types of events, and to make it easier for racers to find their photos, he uses Photo Mechanic and in the IPTC metadata fields, enters their bib numbers into the caption field. He says he's able to code the photos at a rate of about 1,300 per hour, so as long as he's able to see the bib number, he can get that done fairly quickly. And we're going to get into a solution for when he can't see their number in a little bit here. What he then does is use the code replacement feature to enter the racer's name, which gets cross-referenced with their number, so now they can search for their bib number or name. Those things are tied together. He's then able to upload the photos to his shootproof.com account, and since it pulls in the IPTC data as well, all of that is maintained and searchable. That's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty slick workflow, and I knew that someone in our audience would have a solution, because I didn't. Now, Travis in Australia uses Lightroom, as he told us, but as Mike points out, you've got to use the right tool for the job when you're shooting these events. Photo Mechanic is built for speed. Lightroom, not so much. So if you're going through a ton of photos, we're talking about thousands of photos, and that needs to be done quickly, Photo Mechanic is usually the right tool. Now, for racers whose bib number he can't see, he enters a zero into that field, and then later on that's associated with text that says, racer name unknown. So those who can't find their photos now have a way to search and find them. They might have to search through a bunch of them, but eventually they're going to find a photo, hopefully in that bunch. So we thank Mike so much for this suggestion because that's going to help a lot of people. But also another one of our amazing listeners, JP with JP Pedicino Photography in Lake Worth, Florida, has a couple of solutions as well. One of them is using Backprint.com, which has an image tagging slash sorting service specifically for doing what Travis needs done. On their site, it says, quote, Backprint coordinates with over 100 dedicated image tagging specialists for fast and accurate data entry. Our pricing for tagging starts at 1 cent per bib tagged, a fast and inexpensive way to allow you to focus on taking great photos and handle the rest. End quote. So that's going to cost a little bit of money. That's not a free solution, but hey, 4,000 images would be $40. That's not too bad at all. But who knows how long they actually take, though? With Mike's solution, he's able to get the photos up, he says, later that evening or the next morning, and they're available to purchase in a matter of hours. Over the years, I've shot many of these events, from bike races to running races to rodeos, and many times photographers are going to be there with their spouse or assistant and have a booth set up so they can sell the images right there on the spot. And we're talking about being able to find your images and print them right there. The photographer will shoot, someone will come and get the memory card from them, and then they'll run it over to the booth where they'll begin sorting the photos and making them available to purchase and print right there on the spot. That's pretty cool. But that, of course, requires logistics, equipment, and extra personnel, and that all adds to your costs. That's not something everyone's going to be able to do, of course. You know, as photographers, many of us go out there alone and shoot. We don't have a whole crew with us. But another solution that JP had was a website called pic2go.com. That's a 2, as in the number, by the way. Their system's really slick, but it requires special bibs with barcodes on them, which can then be read later by their software. Pretty cool solution, but really involved. You know, I think we have some pretty good solutions here for Travis in Australia, thanks to our awesome listeners. I favor Mike's solution personally. I think Photo Mechanic is incredibly quick, and if you need to get it done yourself rather than using an outside service, which may take days to do it, that's going to really greatly help you, I think. So thank you so much, guys, for helping our fellow listener out. You know, I tell you, we have an amazing audience out there, and these two just proved it. So thanks, guys. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 58 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And don't forget, you can help to support us by supporting our sponsor, FreshBooks. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Go ahead and claim your 30-day free trial and check out what FreshBooks is all about, especially if you're a small business, whether you're a photographer or you have another small business. It's a great service and you got to check it out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 59. Well, it's f/8 and 250 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.